Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen. Daf Chaf. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihinu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema. Dina Bat Sara. Elna Refana La Refuat Nefesh Urfuat Guf. Urfuatah Kroba Labo. Vechen Yirason Venomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yutet Amud Bet, and we are three lines after they get wide. Amar Rab Aser, Amar Rab Yohanan, Ma'aser Sheni, Me'ematai Hayavim Alav. Which means, if let's say you ate Ma'aser Sheni outside the walls of Jerusalem. Let's review. Ma'aser Sheni, you have to eat inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Let's say a person ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. So at what stage is he going to be hayav? So the Gemara says, Mishira'a penei ahoma. Once the ma'aser went inside the wall, once it was in Jerusalem, finished. And then it comes out, then you're hayav. Which means if it never went into the wall to start off with, and you ate it outside, you're not going to be hayav. Ma'aser is only hayav when it went in, and it came back out. My ta'amad amar kera lefnei Hashem Elohecha tochelenu. It says you have to eat the ma'aseh in front of Hashem. That means in Yerushalayim. Uchtiv, and then it also says lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha, that you're not allowed to eat it in your own gates. So the Gemara connects the two pesukim. Kol hecha dekarinam belefnei Hashem Elohecha tochelenu. So long as we can fulfill the pasuk that you have to eat in front of God, meaning so long as the ma'aseh was in Yerushalayim at least one time, Karina be'elot tuchal le'chol b'sha'arecha. So then the other pasuk applies that now you're not allowed to eat it in your own gates. V'chol hecha de'lo karina be'lefnei Hashem Elohecha tochelenu. But if it never got to the stage that we were able to eat it because it never got into Yerushalayim, lo karina be'elot tuchal le'chol b'sha'arecha. So the law of eating it outside does not apply. So again, the basic rule is over here that only once the ma'aser got in to Yerushalayim, then if it goes out, you're not allowed to eat it. If it never got it in the first place, so then it's mutar. Meti ve Rabbi Yose Omer. The Rabbi Yose says, Kohen sha'alta biyato te'ena shel tevel. You have a Kohen. Let's say he has in his hands te'ena shel tevel. A fig of tevel. Tevel means nothing. No terum, what the ma'asrut were taken. Amar, so the Kohen says, te'ena zu, this te'ena, terumata bi'uksa. I'm taking teruma. He separates the teruma. Tiruma will be in the orchids by the stem. So the tiruma is in there, but it's already separated. Ma'asir rishon b'sfona. Ma'asir rishon is going to be in the northern part of it of the fig. Ma'asir sheni l'tiruma, and ma'asir sheni will be in the southern part of it. V'hishnat ma'asir sheni v'hu b'Yerushalayim. Let's say it's the Ma'aser Sheni year, and he's in Yerushalayim. Or Ma'aser Ani, or it's the Ma'aser Ani year, v'hu b'gbulin, and he's outside. The point is, he separated everything. He separated Terumah, he separated Ma'aser Rishon, and he separated Ma'aser Sheni, and he was in Jerusalem. Or Ma'aser Ani, if it's that year, and he doesn't have to be in Jerusalem to eat the Ma'aser Ani. Now, Achala, now he eats the fig. So let's see, what is he going to be Hayav this Kohen? So that says, Loke Ahat. He only gets one malkut. Let's read the top Rashi. Why should he get one malkut? De lo hotzi'a miyad tevel bekriat shem ze. Because even though he took teruma and he took ma'aser rishon and he separated ma'aser sheni, there's one part that he did not separate, and that's ma'aser min ma'aser. Because in the ma'aser rishon, there has to be another ma'aser that's separated and given to the Kohen. So he did not separate that, and therefore it's still tevil. And therefore, by eating it, well, he's allowed to eat the teruma. So he's a Kohen. So the fact that he ate the fig and there was teruma in there, no problem. He's a Kohen. The fact that he ate ma'aser rishon, it's also okay, because ma'aser rishon is okay if a zad eats it. The fact that he ate ma'aser sheni and he's in Jerusalem,
also no problem. Umasir ani, and he's even outside Jerusalem, also no problem. But the problem is, he did not separate the ma'asir min ha-ma'asir. He did not take the ma'asir that he's supposed to give to the Levi. That was not separated out. That's the way that she explains it. Oh, continue the Gemara. Vezar she'achala. However, if a non-Kohen did the same thing, ate the fig, and he separated the terumah, and the Maaser Rishon, the Maaser Sheni, Lokesh Taim. Okay, so now he's going to get two sets of Malkuyot. Why is he going to get two sets of Malkuyot? She'idu batechila achala eno loke ela achat. Because if he would have eaten it initially without even separating anything, he would have gotten one off the bat because of Tevin. And now he gets an extra. So besides the fact that he ate Tevin, because even if he didn't anything, he gets tevel, isur. And now also because he ate teruma, he's not a Kohen. So he gets a malkut for tevel, just stam, because he didn't take out all the entitlements. And also he gets an isur of eating teruma because he is a non-Kohen. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, that's the chidush. Who said this chidush over here? This was the chidush of Rabbi Yosef. Now the Gemara starts making diuki. Tamad ite birushalayim. The only reason why he gets two is because he was in Yerushalayim. So he gets the tevin, he gets the teruma one. Ha big bully, we can make an implication. But if he was outside of Yerushalayim, lokesh shalosh, he'll get three. He'll get the isur of teruma, he'll get the isur of tevin, and he'll get the isur of eating ma'asir sheni outside of Yerushalayim. Even though this fig was never in Jerusalem, which was, if you learn the case that everything happened outside Jerusalem, it's mashmah for Rabbi Yosef. This was only talking about Yehubi Yerushalayim. Mashmah that if this story happened outside Yerushalayim, he wouldn't get two sins, two malkuyot, he'd get three. He'd get a third one for eating ma'asir sheni outside Jerusalem, even though it never went in. So you see over here a question on the statement that we opened up by Gemara with today. We learned that Ma'asir Sheni is only Chayav if you eat it outside, if it was inside first. And then it came out. But if it never went inside, you're not going to be Chayav. So Ma'asir Sheni Rabbi Yosef said that only because this was in Yerushalayim he gets two. But if it was outside Yerushalayim, and this whole story happened, he'd get three. The Gemara says, no. The case is talking about where he took the fig in Jerusalem, so it entered Jerusalem, and then he took it out. That's why it's going to be Hayaf 3 if it leaves Jerusalem. Because it was in Jerusalem and then it went out. So it'll be Hayaf for Terumah, it'll be Hayaf for Tevel, it'll be Hayaf for Ma'asir Sheni. So Gemara says, if that's the case, Ma'ile Memra, what is the Chidush? Which means, what's the Chidush of Rabbi Yosef's implication? Look at Rashi. Ihache Ma'ile Memra. Tibish Lama Iyamat Ma'asir Sheni Bigbulin Lo Keshalosh. Which means, if you want to tell me that you hayav ma'asir sheni even if it never saw the wall, then Rabbi Yosef, you're telling me a big hadush. That you tell me a zav that ate it in Jerusalem is hayav too, and your implication is very, very profound. Because your implication is telling me, what if you ate it outside and nothing ever went inside, you're going to be hayav three. That's a hadush. That's what you have to tell me. The statement, because of the diuk, is a big chadush, a big bulin. But if you tell me the case about when you brought the fig in Jerusalem and then you took it out, we don't need it. Which is, otherwise, there's no chadushim in his statement. What do you tell me? The Kohen is Hayaf for the table? We know that already. What do you tell me? Yazar is Hayaf for Terumah? We know that already. Elawa, Rabbi Yosef must have been telling me chidush in his statement. What's the chidush? Unless you tell me his chidush was that you hayav two if all the story happened in Jerusalem. But if the fig never got into Jerusalem, the chidush is going to be hayav three. That's a chidush. So the Gemara says, the island of Afkin. No, you brought it in, you took it out. So there's no chidush in that. The Gemara says, Iachim ala memra. He goes, Achim askinan. That's the chidush. The fig went into Jerusalem when it was still tevil, which means you did not separate anything from it. It went in tevil, and then you took it out. and then you designated the ma'aser sheni. And the hadush is v'kasavar matanot shelo hurmu kimi shehurmu damyan. That's the hadush. That matanot that were not separated yet, it's considered as if they were separated, and therefore we consider it as if the ma'aser sheni entered Jerusalem, even though you never designated it. And now when it comes out, you're going to be Hayab Malkut once you separate it and eat it. So that's the Chiddush. Which means there would be no Chiddush if the guy brought the fig into Jerusalem, designated Ma'asir Sheni, and then brought it out. Of course you're going to be Hayab in that Ma'asir Sheni. It entered. Once it comes out, you're not Hayab to eat it. You're Hayab if you eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. The Chiddush over here is you brought the fig in, you didn't say anything. It was total Tevil. However, he holds that once the item goes in, it's as if all the items went in. Ma'aser went in, Terumah went in, etc. And therefore, Kimishi Urmu Damyan. Therefore, it's considered as if the Ma'aser Sheni, that's inside of the fig, that was not designated yet, went in. And therefore, when you take it out, you're going to be Hayaf. So that is the Hiddush. Again, Matanot Shelo Urmu, Kimishi Urmu Damyan. That potentially, since it's inside, even though you never designated it, is as if Hurmu. The Gemara says, "Besavar biyose matanot shelo hurmu kemi shurmu dame." Does Rabbi Yose indeed hold such a concept that even though they were not separated, it's as if they were separated? V'atanya, we have a brayta. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Yose lo nechleku bet shamayu bet el at perot shlo negberam belachtan ve'avru birushanayim. There's no mahlok between Bet Shemayim Bet Hillel on perot shenigmeram melachtan, which means you finished their work. Meaning you piled them up, you made minuah hakli, you smoothened the pile, which means now they're going to be chayav and maaser, and they went into Yerushalayim and they left Yerushalayim. Everybody agrees in that case over there, she padeh, that you have to make pinyon. Ma'asir sheni shelahen v'yachel bechol makum, which means, again, the case is talking about shelon nigmera melachtan, which means if there was no gmar melacha, so they were not hayav in ma'asir, and if you brought it into Jerusalem, doesn't mean anything because there was no hayuv bechlal before gmar melacha, and now you took it out of Jerusalem. Everybody agrees you can still make pinyon because now designate the ma'asir sheni and make a binyon. There's no question over there. Which means, since there's no gemar melachai, one hayav lafrish, and therefore you can't come along and say it was keilu hafrishu when it went into Jerusalem, and therefore you won't be able to make binyon. No, it wasn't hayav bichlal because it was no gemar melachai. There's no machloker on that case over there. However, al manich liku, where's the machlok bet shemayim bet hillel al perot shenigmera melachtan? Oh, on perot that already had gemar melacha, ve'avru birushalayim, and they went out of Jerusalem, and then only after they went out of Jerusalem, you separated. Bet shamay umrim, bet shamay comes along and says, sorry, too late. Yachzir ma'aser sheni shelahem v'yachim Yerushalayim. You got to bring it back into Yerushalayim, because Bet Shammai is the one that holds that even though it was not huram, it's considered as if it was huram, and therefore you do not have the ability to make pinyon outside Yerushalayim anymore. Bet Hillel omrim, Bet Hillel says no problem. Yipadeh v'yachel bechol makom. Bet Hillel says doesn't matter since it was not taken in Jerusalem, so therefore you brought it outside, no problem. Make a pidyon on the ma'aser sheni and eat it b'chol makom, and therefore you see that what Bet Hillel holds that even though it went into Jerusalem, it's not considered anything, and therefore Mistamar Rabbi Yosef holds like Bet Hillel. We don't want to make Rabbi Yosef hold like Bet Shammai. Rabbi Is al kadatach matanot shelo hurmu kimi shurmu damyan. If you're going to hold like Rabbi Yosef wants to say that what that matanot shelo hurmu is kimi shurmu, that even though you didn't take it out, you took it out yet. Hakaltuhu mechitzot. What are you talking? They went into the mechitzot, and therefore you shouldn't be able to make pidyon. Ela from the fact that Bet Hillel says that even though it went into the walls, you're still allowed to make pidyon. Obviously, he holds that matanot shelo hurmu is not kimi shurmu damyan, and therefore we have a question on Rabbi Yosef. How could you say that he holds that it's considered kimi shurmu, and that's why you're going to be hayav three? Because he ate the masach in the outside. You see from Bet Hillel, not like that. Amar Rabba. So Rabba comes along and says, there's a chiluk over here. Mechitza le'echol de'oraita. which means the law that says that the wall of Jerusalem is considered the mechitza legabe eating ma'aser shni, you have to eat ma'aser shni within the wall, that's already a din deoraita. That means once already it entered the wall of Jerusalem, mid deoraita, you're not allowed to eat it outside. Like we learned in today's Gemara. Once it enters Jerusalem, finished. Assume deoraita to eat it outside. And therefore, on a deoraita law, Rabbi Yosef is going to be strict. Not only if the ma'aser shini entered, but even if the fig entered Yerushalayim and you didn't take the ma'aser yet, we're going to say kemi shehur mudami, and we're going to be machmir and not let you eat it outside of Yerushalayim. We're going to say kemi shehur mu legabe deoraita legabe eating. However, mechitza leklot, the law that says that the wall, when the fig or the fruit or the ma'aser shini enters, or the product enters Yerushalayim, that once it enters Yerushalayim, you're not going to be able to make pidyon anymore outside Yerushalayim. The pidyon law, the law of redeeming, that's a law mid Rabbanan. When did the rabbis make a gezerah mid Rabbanan? That's when the ma'aser shini is there physically. When the ma'aser shini entered Yerushalayim, oh, now once it leaves, sorry, no more pidyon. However, b'tebleh lo gazur Rabbanan. But Betilel was not Mahmir in the potential. Therefore, if the product just entered Yerushalayim, and you didn't make a Maser, so it's Lohuram, so it will allow you to make Pidyon when it comes out of Yerushalayim. So again, Betilel and was talking about one subject, and Rabbi Yosef was talking about another subject. Rabbi Yosef was talking about the law of eating. The law of eating is a deoraita law. Once it enters, you cannot eat it after it leaves. So therefore, we're going to be mahmir even if you didn't separate it. But we're going to say it's kemisha hurmu, and we're not going to let you eat it outside. But Talil was talking about the law of pidyon. That once something enters Yerushalayim, you cannot make pidyon outside of Yerushalayim. That's the din of banan. So it's only going to be mahmir what when there's actually ma'aser shini behind that entered Yerushalayim. But ma'aser shini and potential that entered Yerushalayim when it comes out, Bet Talil will still allow you to make a pidyon. They were indeed talking about two different subjects. Ravina Amar, Ravina comes along and says a different answer. He says, oh, really, I'll tell you, there's no difference between the law of eating it outside Yerushalayim and making pidyon. So then the question is, what's the case of Rabbi Yosef? Why did he say, or why did he imply that if you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you're going to be Hayav 3? Hare, according to Betelem, it's considered as if you didn't take ma'aser yet. And therefore, if you didn't take the ma'aser, it's kishelo hurmu. So therefore, you should not be hayav 3 if it came out. So what's the case? Why, according to Rabbi Yosef, you're going to be hayav 3? Gemara says, kegon de nakit le bekanya. The guy was holding the ma'aser sheni on a stick, which means he entered Yerushalayim, but the ma'aser sheni was holding on a stick outside of Yerushalayim, and the Chiddush Rabbi Yosef is coming to teach me that this is considered as if the Ma'aser Sheni entered Yerushalayim. That since he is in Yerushalayim, even though he's not holding the Ma'aser Sheni on his shoulders, even though he has it on his stick, so the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef is it's considered in, and therefore when he comes out, he's not going to be allowed to eat it. If he's a Zad, he's going to be Hayab for eating the Ma'aser Sheni, because the Chiddush is that even though it's on a stick, it's considered as if it's inside. Now, we had a question on this yesterday. The Gemara had this exact question yesterday and leave it in the teku. So the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara concludes, Tefshot ba'yad of papa. And you could solve the question of the papa that we had on yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, we had a question, how do you consider ma'aser shini that the guy's holding on a stick over his shoulder outside Yerushalayim? Do you go after the stick? Do you go after the guy? Is it considered it entered or not? So the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef is, from here we can solve the question that's considered it did enter, and therefore once he goes out, he's not going to be allowed to eat it anymore because it's considered it entered. Everybody would agree, but they would agree to this law also. If it's considered it entered, he will not be allowed to eat it outside. That's why you're going to be Hayav 3 for Zah, it'll be Hayav for Terumah, for Tebil, and for Ma'asir Shini. Comes the next Mishnah. We are learning again more laws that you're going to be Hayav Malkut. If, of course, the person does it, b'mezid, and they gave him hatra'ah. Ha-koreya korha b'rosho. This is a person that pulls out hair from his head. Somebody died, so the guy's in a lot of grief. So how does he show his grief? He starts to pull out hair from his head. So he's going to get an isur. As the Torah says, ve'lo tasimu korha b'ne'enechem lamet. That means you're not allowed to place a bald spot in your b'ne'enechem, literally between your eyes, for a dead person. Not only one of the dead persons that are related to you, for any dead person. Now, even though the Pasuk says ben einichem, what sounds like only between your eyes, but the Gemara is going to learn that it means any place on your head. You're not allowed to pull out hair in order to show as a sign of grief. But we'll wait for the Gemara to say that. That mekif pe'at rosho, if a person, let's say, shaves or cuts off the pe'ah of his head, the corner of his head, which means he takes the hair off on the, we call them the sideburns, and he makes it equal with the back of his ear, which means, well, you be just like in the back of his ear, he has no hair, right? So draw a straight line across from the back of the ear across, and cut the hair off there as well, which was the sideburn. So now already he made like a circle. His hair is a circular. There's nothing coming down from the sides, right? So it's like a mushroom. So mashveid go behind the gomer. So it says over there, hamakif pe'at rosho. The guy cuts his pe'ot off. So it's a sesum natural. Lo takifu pe'at roshchem. Vameshchit pe'at zekano. For that matter, a person shaves the corner of his beards. Also, it says lo tashchit pe'at zekanecha. That's also a sort of hasoreit. That's a person takes his fingernails or a keli or whatever it is, and he makes a scratch in his skin or on another part of his body. That's called a sirita. Again, he's doing it because of tsa'ar that he has, and it's causing himself to bleed. Even if he does, the Mishnah says basoyet sirita achat, if he did it ala met, again as a tsa'ar for a met, so he's going to get an issue. Like it says in the Pasuk, V'seret ha-nefesh lo titenu b'msarchem. The Deen and the Mishnah, all these cases is Hayav. Again, all these cases is Hayav. Now the Gemara Mishnah continues. Sarat sirita achat al hamisha metim. Let's say he made one sirita, one scratch on his body in pain for five different metim, but he did it in one shot. Or hamis siritot, or he did five scratchings al met achat. Now, even though he did it in one shot, we'll see how he can do it in one shot, and he did it with one warning, then he was warned, don't do this item, you're going to be a hayav. So hayav al kol achat ve'achat, it's going to be hayav for each one. Again, the Gemara is going to, it doesn't matter whether he did one sirita for five people or five siritot for one. The Gemara is going to have to explain exactly how this case applies. Last part of the Mishnah, ala rosh, which means when it comes to taking off the pe'ot, the sideburns, which means even if, let's say, he cut off both sideburns with one warning, which means he did with his right hand, he did even in bevat ahat, with his right hand he took off his right sideburn, and with his left hand he did his left one, so he's going to be chayav. The Mishnah says shtayim, you get two malkuyot, achat mikan ve'achat mikan, which means it's considered two separate isurim, and therefore you're going to get two different malkuyot. So it says ala zakan. However, if let's say he shaves his beard, so you're going to be chayav. We said there's five places. So let's say he did it in one shot. So shtayim mikan, ushtayim mikan, ve'achat milimata. Well, when it comes to doing the beard, it's hard to do it in one shot because you need some type of apparatus that can catch all the five spots on the beard in one shot. So the Mishnah is not talking about a case where he did it in one shot. It's just giving me the scenario. I have two shtayim, that's mikan on the right side, shtayim and two more spots, two more malkuyot on the other side, mikan, and then one milimata, that's underneath, like by the chin. So the Gemara is going to explain all this, five spots when it comes to pe'at hazakan, and therefore if a person shaves his whole face by the beard, so it can be chayav five. Comes the Gemara and says the Bidi Ezer Omer im netelo kulan ke'ahat. He says no. If let's say a person shaved some of his pe'ot in one shot, eno chayav ela achat. He's only going to be chayav one. Whereas Tana Kama is going to hold that you're going to be chayav as many as you did in one shot. The Bidi Ezer says that if you did it all in one shot, you're only going to be hayav one by the by zakan. And the Gemara again is going to explain all these opinions. Last point of the Mishnah between Tanakama and Abidi Eisen. Tanakama, he didn't tell us how. Actually, Tanakama is going to tell us now, when you're shaving your peot, when you're shaving your beard, what type of shaving is it? So it says, Ve'enu hayav achi telenu beta'ad. Means only with a razor. Abidi Eisen omer. No, not only a razor. Afilu leketo bemalket o berehitani. These are different type of apparatuses that are not razors. It's like a plane or something else. It is going to be hayav. Now the Gemara begins. Now, the first isur in the Mishnah, which we're going to analyze in today's daf, is the isur of korha. Lo yikrihu korha al met. You're not allowed to pull out hair. Korha is baldness. You're not allowed to pull out hair as a sign of grief for a dead body. Now, this isur was written twice in the Torah. It's written once in Vayikra, and it's talking to the Kohanim specifically. Part of the Isurim that the Kohanim are allowed to do is the Kohen is not allowed to pull out his hair for a mit. And then in Devarim, we have the similar Pasuk, and it's talking to all of Israel. So again, it's very important to remember, there's two Pasukim of Korha. One was said to the Kohanim, and one to all Israel. Now basically what the Gemara is going to do over here, it's going to connect and compare the two Pesukim, the one that was written by the Kohen and the one that was written by the Israel, and we're going to learn the laws of the Kohen from the Israel and the laws of the Israel to the Kohen, and we're going to apply both of them. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan.
Lecture mode on.
Lo yikrihu. The Pasuk says in Vayikra by the Kohanim that they're not allowed to make a bald spot. Now, Yachol afilu karah arba v'chamesh kirichot. Let's say he makes four or five different spots. Lo yeh hayav el achat. You think you're only going to be hayav one isur? Talmud omar korha. So the Torah says a double language. Lo yikrihu korha. The pasuk could have just written lo yikrihu. The fact that it repeats korha lehayev al kol korha v'korha. There's going to be hayav indeed for each one. That's what we learned from Korha. Now, Berosham, it says in the Pasuk again, in Vayikra, Lo yikrihu korha Berosham. By the Kohanim, it says, do not make a bald spot in their head. Matamudomar, what is it coming to teach me? Which means, what is the chidush of korha Berosham? So it says, Lefish in Emar, because it says when it's talking to Yisrael in Devarim, it says Lo tidgodidu, do not make a blemish on your flesh. Ve'lo tasimu korcha ben einechem lamet. It's mashma by Yisrael, you only chayav if you make the bald spot between einechem. Let's say in the place where the tefillin is, don't pull out hair over there ben einechem. Yachod o yechayav ela al ben ha'inayim bilvat. Do you think that this chayuv of lo yikrihu korha only applies to ben ha'inayim? Minayin rabot kod ha'rosh. How do I know it applies to anywhere on the head? Talmud omar berosham. That's why it says by the Kohanim berosham, they teach me anywhere in the head. Le rabot kod ha'rosh. To come and tell me any place in the rosh. Ve'en li ela b'Kohanim. Yeah, but maybe I'll say that the only law that says that the whole head is part of the Isur, maybe that only applies to the Kohanim. Shriba bahen katub mitzvot yeterot. Because anyway, we know the Kohanim have extra mitzvot than a regular Israel, so that maybe we're being more machmir by the Kohen that it applies to his whole head, just like we're machmir in other things. Yisrael minayin. How do we know that even by Yisrael, the whole head is in the Isur? So it says, Ne'emar kan, by Yisrael it says the word korha. Ve'ne'emar daran, it says by Kohanim korha. So we make a gezer hashava. Ma lehalan, just like by the Kohanim. Hayav al kol korha v'korha, we proved from the extra word korha, you can be hayav for each one. So tu v'chen hayav al arosh. And similarly, hayav on the whole rosh. Keben anayim, just as like hayav between the eyes. So af kan, so tu by Israel. Hayav al kol korha v'korha, you can be hayav for each korha. Amalkut b'fne atzma. V'chayav al arosh kemen ha'inayim. And the Gemara continues, Uma lehalan. And just like by a Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Al met, because over there it says by the Yisrael, it says, Lo yikrihu korha lamet. Afkan, so to by the Kohanim, it's only going to be al met, only when you do it at Sa'ar for a met. So comes the Gemara now and continues. So basically what the Gemara did over there was it compared the laws of Korcha by Israel to the laws of Korcha by a Kohen. Now the Gemara says, we learned from the case of Korcha, that what? You're going to be Hayav for each one, whether you do it four times, five times, you'll be Hayav Malkut. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the case? Hane arba v'chamesh kerichot echidame. What's the case you're going to be Hayav? Ilema beze acharzeu b'chamesh hatra'ot pshita. If it's talking about where he did them one after the other, and he got five separate warnings, pshita, of course you're going to be Hayav five Malkuyot. I don't need a Gemara to tell me such a chedush. Isn't it obvious? For every time you get a warning, you get a malkut if the guy transgresses it. So what's the chadush in that case? So the Gemara says, Ela, it's talking about over here, Behada Hatra'ah. The case is talking about that what? That he did five bald spots. He pulled out his hair five times with one warning, which means he got warned before the first time. So the Gemara says, Mimi Hayev? You're not going to be Hayav in such a case. Which means to be Hayav Malkut, you got to have a warning. You don't have a case of one warning to be Hayav. Five Malkuyot. How do you know that? Hatanam, we learned. Nazir Shaya Shote Yain Kulayom. A Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Let's say he was drinking a lot of Shi'urim of wine the whole day. Right? But let's say they only warned him in the beginning, don't drink wine. And then he drank it if he ate. Then he drank another if he ate. Eno Hayav Elahat. He's only Hayav the first time after the first warning. Amnu lo al teshte. But if they keep on giving him a new warning before he drinks, Vushote Hayav Akon Achat Vehat. So of course he's going to be Hayav on each one. The point is, you're not Hayav until you drink after you receive your warning. So similarly over here in the case of Korcha, if you only got one warning, you're not going to be Hayav five separate actions. So Gemara says, Hiddush. Lo tzericha desach hamesh etzba'otav nasha. What do you do? First, he dipped his five fingers into a certain type of chemical that removes hair. It's called nasha, depilatory. So he stuck his fingers, five fingers, he has this stuff on it now that removes hair. Ve'odvinu, and he put his fingers on five separate spots of his head. Bevatahat, in one shot. And then the guy warned him, don't do that, don't put your fingers on your head, because you're going to cause to make the bald spots. So the warning is considered for each finger, and therefore it's considered like he got five warnings, because again he had five fingers already to make bald spots with this depilatory that's on his fingers, so he's ready to put it on his head. And the guy said, hey, don't do that, you're going to be Hayav. So it's considered as if it's one warning, but it's considered as if he got five separate warnings. Comes the Gemara and says, "Vekama shiur korcha." How much hair do you have to pull out to be hayav? Ravuna ama omer. Ravuna says, "Kedeshira e mirosho," which means you have to pull enough hair out where you must see the scalp. You see the bald spot. Rabbi Yochanan omer mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon kegris. He says no. The size of a grease. What is a grease? Grease is like a fool, a type of bean. So normally the bean is called a fool. Half of that size is called a grease. So it's a shi'ur. So Gemara says this is actually a machloket. Some of the grisah ketanaeh. Kama shi'ur kulha. What's the shiur of a korcha? One rabbi says kegris, aharim omrim kedesh yira'eh mirosho, where you actually can see the bald spot on the head. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Habiba, perigiba tlata tana'eh. Actually, it's a three-way machloket on the shiur of korcha. Had omer kegris. One says the shiur is the size of a gris. Vehad omer kedesh yira'eh mirosho. And one says, in order you can see his scalp. The third opinion says what? Even pulling out two hairs. The ika de mapik shte sa'arot. There's one shita, one amoraim takes out the opinion of two sa'arot. and he puts in the shiur of adasha, the size of a lentil. So according to that opinion, you have the two opinions. Take out sa'arot, so you'll have adasha, and you'll have gris, and you'll have kedesh yira'eh minosho. So again, you have to remember, you're taking out the opinion of shtei sa'arot according to one opinion, and you're putting in the shiur of adasha. How do you remember that? The simanach. So you can remember the shiurim according to the second opinion. You could learn a remez from tzara'at. It says baheret kigris umehya b'adasha. Those are two types of tzara'at. Baheret, the shiur is a gris, and mehya is the shiur of a adasha, which means that's how you'll remember that according to the second shita, the shiurim are gris and adasha. That means you took out the opinion of shtei sa'arot and you put in adasha, and therefore you're left with what? Two of the opinions are adasha and gris, just like the shiurim of by leprosy. So that's how you're going to remember which one you took out and which one you put in. You took out shtei sa'arot and you put in adasha, so you're left with what? Adasha and gris. How do you remember that? So you remember it by the shiurim of sarat. Okay, Tana. Anotel melo pi hazug b'Shabbat hayav. Now we talk about the laws of Shabbat. If a person, let's say, b'shogeg on Shabbat, he removes hair from his body. Let's say the shi'ur of the point of the scissors. That's a melo pi hazug. I mean the shi'ur of the point of the scissors where you cut. So it's going to be hayav. What is hayav? Hayav hatat. If he did it b'shogeg. The Gemara asks, b'chama melo pi hazug. How much hair is that? How much is that in hair? Amar Rav Yehuda, shtayim. It's considered two sa'arot. Ve'atanya. What are you talking about? In that same bright that says, le'korcha, when it comes to the isur of korcha, of making a bald spot for a med, when do you get malgud? Shtayim. It says two. That's mashma, only for korcha shtayim. It's mashma for Shabbat, which is pe'azug, it's a different shi'ur. Why would it say for Shabbat piyazug? And you tell me that shtayim. Then it says korcha shtayim. It's the same shiur. Ema vechen lekorcha shtayim. So the Gemara says you're right. The Bright has to say that vechen lekorcha. So too for korcha, you're going to be hayav too. And the Mishnah is explaining on Shabbat. The Bright is explaining on Shabbat you're going to hayav too. You're hayav piyazug. And what's piyazug? Vechen lekorcha. Similarly, by korcha shtayim. So from the brayta we learned that piyazug is also shtayim. So both of them are two hairs. Tanya nameachet hanotel melo piyazug b'shabbat chayav vechama melo piyazug shtayim. Rabbi Eliezer omer achat. Rabbi Eliezer says even one hair that one removes on Shabbat is going to be chayav. At least, but from the first opinion, you see that PSP has zugis shtayim. Okay, Kavli Gabran says, Umodim Achamim Rabbi Eliezer. Everybody agrees, even Achamim will agree that normally they say Hayav on Shabbat two heirs. B'melaket lebanot b'toch shechorot. When a guy takes white hair and he pulls a white hair from a black hair, afilu achat, even if he pulled out one white hair, shihu hayav, he's going to be hayav, because that's already shi'ur chashuv. Because a person doesn't want to look like an old man. So when he pulls out the one hair to him, he's makpid on it. And therefore it's considered shiur hashuv, and therefore it's going to be hayav on Shabbat. But normally only hayav when you pull out two hairs, according to Hachamim. But if it's a white hair amongst the black, that's shiur hashuv, and it's going to be hayav. Bedavar zeh, afilu bechol asur. And by the way, pulling out white hairs amongst the black, that's asur even on the weekday. Meshuv she'ne'emar, lo yilbash geber simnat isha. Which means a man is not allowed to wear the dress of a lady. Which means a man is not allowed to act like a lady. Then that's vain. Pulling out white hairs, you're doing something that's vanity. And therefore it's isur menat Torah. Because you're making yourself beautiful like the ladies do. Tamekiv pe'at rosh. Okay, now we learn the laws of pe'ot. Tar rabbanan. Pe'at rosho. This one we said, the corner of the rosh, which we said we call the pe'ah, sof. Rosho. This is considered the end of the head. Literally, pe'ah means the end, the corner. So when we say pe'at arosh, means kserosh, the corner of the head, which means you have the area of the head, and then you have the face. So technically they're saying where the head ends and the face begins, that's considered the pe'ah. So the Gemara is going to explain, where is that? Where is that spot? So it says, Ze hamashve seda'av, that's a person that he pulls out the hair. Seda'av is by the temple. Temple is when you clench your teeth, you see that protrudes a little out, a little spot on the right and the left. That's a seda'av. Le'achore ozno, he makes that equal to the back of his ear, ulepadahto, and to his forehead. Which means, on your forehead you have no hair. Okay, we know that. On the back of your ear also, pulling your ear back, right, there's no hair over there. Now, you go from your forehead and draw a straight line on your forehead and to the back of your ear. So, as you draw that straight line from your forehead to the back of your ear, you're going to have to cross through some hair. When you cross through that hair, that's already the shi'ur, that's the place of the pe'ot. Which means when you're being mashveh, that means you're keeping the baldness on the forehead across to the pe'ah, to the back of the ear, which means it's all, you're making it like one total bald area. So that is considered the anyan of the pe'ah. Now she says, if you want to see the nashi ha-mashveh, sedarav la'achore ozno padachto. Achore ozno en se'ar klum. The back of his ear, there's no hair. Vechem b'mitzcho. For that matter, on his forehead, en se'ar klum. Havad b'sedarav she'be'emsa, but in between, linking his forehead to the back of his ear, right, in between that area you have some hair. Yes, se'ar. V'imum mashveh v'notel kol ha'se'ar shmutav. If he takes out all the hair from that spot, למידת אחורי אוזנו ופדחתו זה מקיף סוף הראש. That is taking off, that's called סוף הראש, because now you're being משווה the פדחת and the אחורי אוזנו. That's considered like you make a הקפה, make like a circle, you go all the way around. Okay, so that is the shi'ur. Again, it should be pointed out from the Rivan. Again, I'm saying Rivan because remember yesterday's daf, the Nashi left us. Now we have the Rivan that's explaining. So the Rivan, from the Rivan, it's Bashma, that it's only Tumah where you took the whole, all of the hair, Natal Kol Se'ar. And you're not going to be over until you take all the hair. It's mashma, the width and the length of the shi'ur. Okay. And the poskim discussed that how much hair you have to take from the pe'ah. Again, I said from the divan, it's mashma, again from his lashon, v'notil kol ha-se'ar shebesed'ahav. You're taking the whole area. Tani tana. We have a amora that was fluent, he was an expert in the Braitot. Kamed Rav Chasda, he learned in front of Rav Chasda. Ehad ha-makif, ve'ehad ha-nikaf. That's Hadush. That not only is the makif, the guy that's cutting the pe'ot off, but the one that's getting cut, the guy that's sitting there in the barber's chair, and he's getting cut, loke, he also gets a isur. Why? Because the Torah says, lo takifu. It says it in the plural language. And the fact that it says, lo takifu, it's two things. Do not cut the pe'ot, and do not let somebody else cut your pe'ot off. That's a big hadush. Amar le, man de achil tamre be'arbila lake. Which means, are you telling me that if a guy eats dates in a kevara, in a sieve, are you going to get malkuyot? Of course not, which means, just like if a guy eats dates, he doesn't get malkuyot. Why should he get malkut over here in this case either? The guy that's getting cut off, the nikaf, he didn't do a ma'aseh. And we know a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, and no kinaf, the guy just sitting in the chair. The barber's cutting his pe'ot off. Which means, just like you don't get malkut for eating dates, he's saying it rhetorically. So too, why should you get malkut in this case over here? He didn't do anything. The amalach, mani, who's the shita that says this? The biudai. The amar, lav she'en bo ma'aseh, lokin alav. Okay, fine. Going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, it says that Lav Shemu Maase, you get Malkut. So now we understand why you're going to be Hayav. Rava Omer, Rava says no. I'll tell you a different Shita. I don't want to say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why should we make the Braita going like Da'at Yahid? Especially it's not the Halakha. B'makif le'atzmo v'devre hakol. I could say it's going b'makif le'atzmo, where he did it to himself. He cut his pe'ot off, and therefore he did a ma'aseh. He's going to be chayav too. He's the one that's cutting, he's the one that's being cut. And therefore he's going to get two malkuyot, had a makif, v'had a nikaf. Rav Ashi Omer, Rav Ashi Kalu gives the third answer. B'misayeya v'devre hakol. It's talking about misayeya, which means he's helping. Let's say he's sitting in the barber's chair. But what? The guy that's sitting is tilting his head in order to bring it closer to the barber. So he's doing a ma'aseh. So he's misayeya. He's not just sitting there passively and the barber's grabbing his head. No, he's leaning his head towards the barber. So therefore, since he does a ma'aseh, so misayeya also be the dre hakol. Let's read the Rashi. Let's start Rashi. The achil tamre ba'arba'in. I'm sorry, it's Rivan. Let's read the Rivan. The achle tamre ba'arbila. Ha'ochel tamrim bekevara. He loke b'tmiya. Kilomat nikaf ma'pasha. Shu loke. What did he do? The nikaf. Lav shemu ma'aseh avi velo lelki. Tamar lecha mani ashoel lecha. Keman kamat nikaf loke. Who's that going? Like Eman Rabbi Yehudai. Tamar le'el lav shemu ma'aseh lokin. Ma'enu lav shemu ma'aseh. The nikaf is alav shemu ma'aseh. The nikaf hu deka amar. Alav de lo takifu. Teshamin lekla achi. Lo takifu. Lo tanihu lakif. Do not let yourself be cut. The maniak lakif kemekif. The isud is because it says a double language. Lo takifu. Not only the makif but the nikaf. Inam memed afke b'lashon abim lechtav lo takifu. The atre kamazir. So the first part is lo takifu. Is do not let yourself be nikaf, and the second of the was plural. Had makif, had nikaf. I tell Rav Shemu Maaseh. It's coming like Rabbi Yehuda. Rava Amar lo tzrichat of make Rabbi Yehuda. Hak brayta the tani tana kamed Rav Hasda. The kamed makif it asmo the kamash malan the hayav tarti. He's doing it to himself. So he's doing it to himself. It's hayav mishum makif and nikaf. Look at the next Rashi. Rivan misayaya mazmin asearot le makif. My mazmin. He's like he's moving his se'arot to the makif, to the guy that's cutting it. So he's misayeya, which means either he's lifting his hair up, so therefore the guy can cut it easily, or he's moving his head towards the barber. In both these cases over there, indeed he is going to be hayav. Comes the Gemara and continues, mashchit pe'ad zekano. If the person is mashchit, is pe'ah of the zakan, taru banan. Pe'ad zekano, what does that mean? Sof zekano. That's the end of his zakan. The ezri sof zakano, shibolet zakano. That's the five peot that were mentioned in the Mishnah. The five peot are considered sof zakano. They call it a shibolet because it's like the whiskers that grow off the beard. It looks like a shibot by a piece of wheat. By the stalks, you have like the little hair, the stalks have like a little beard growth coming out of it. So they call the beard a shibolet. So basically it is the five spots. As she says, shibolet zakan, Rabbi Rivan again, I'm sorry. Again, so you have to find out exactly where these two these five spots are. So let's see if we can find out exactly where these five spots are. If we go back to the Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah on Daf Chaf. If you go back to the Mishnah on Daf Chaf, you will see in the Rivan Shtayim Mikan. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines on the bottom of Rivan. There he gives you the spots. Shtayim Mikan. Hamesh Peot Yeshlo Zakan. There's five spots that the zakan has. Echat lemata min ha'ozen. So again, one underneath the ear. Makom sheliqya tahton yotzeu mitpared, by the jawbone, where the jawbone protrudes. That's one spot on both sides. Sham v'sham nikra pe'ah. That's called a pe'ah. Bechudos sheliqya shebolet lahutz. But that's where the zakan starts. Sham matkalet zakan. V'kol ma shenemar la'ad sid'a bechlal pe'at rosh. Anything until that point is considered the pe'ah of the rosh. Wow, so they're going to Rivan, the pe'ah goes all the way down to the jawbone. Once you get to the jawbone, then you're starting the face. That already is a new pe'ah. That's pe'ah at the zakan. So again, you have two. One on the right side, one on the left side. Ushteh shibbolot. Kol echad mehem lesof alechi. And go all the way down to the bottom of the lechi, the bottom of the jawbone. That's also considered zakan. So those are the other two areas. V'neklav pe'ah be'achat milemata. That would be the santer. That's by the chin, underneath the chin. So therefore, again, you have the five spots: the two spots where the jaw starts, and the two spots where the jaw ends, and then you have the santer, which is underneath the chin. That's going to be the five spots of the zakan. Okay, read the Rivan before that. Hayav ala rosh. Al hakafat da rosh hayav shte malkuyot. An hakafa of the rosh, that's the peot, hayav two. The shte peot yeshto la rosh. There's two sideburns to the rosh. Shal rosh kishte hatichot makom ha-se'ar haticha achat. The head is made up of two parts. That's where the hair is growing, that's the top of the head. U'makom ha-panim. Then you have the face and the beard. That's the second part. And it's connected. And it's connected. How is the top of the head to the face connected? With the side of the ear. Templa. The temples. And that's where the pe'ah is. Shesham sofarosh. That's the end of the top of the head that connects it to the face. So you have two peot. Sid'a mikan, one side, v'sid'a mikan v'chayav aleihem, shtayim. And you're going to be hayav for each one separately. Even if you cut him off simultaneously with both of his hands in one shot, even though he had one hatra'a, the guy said, al takif. We say the hatra'ah is going on both. Okay, so that's the din of the pe'ah, and that's the din of the pe'ot hazakan. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.